You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today. I'm your host, Frank Stanfill. You might recognize me from the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. No Nando DeFino today, no Greg Sussman here on Memorial Day. Just Frank Stanfill hanging out with my guy, the analyst, Chris Venture, writer for Roto Experts, can be seen on the Bensonhurst Mount Rushmore. You want to play Fortnite with him? Just look him up. C-Money, that's C-M-O-N-N-I 15. Chris Venture, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Excited?
I'm very excited. Let's do it. On a Memorial Day here, talking some fantasy football. It's been a while, but we got to dive back in. You know, someone also on the show here has already dove back in. He's doing it all year round. Obviously, that's Jake, the all-in beast, the all-in kid, Sealy, world-renowned fantasy analyst, expert accuracy ranker, or not so much, says Chris Venture. We'll find out about that later in the show. Host of the On Target podcast. Make sure you download that and subscribe to it. Can hear him on Roto Experts in the Morning weekdays. He joins the show at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Last but not least, founder of Hashtag Check the Link. Jake, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's going on, Frank? Hey, did you enjoy being in the captain's chair over there for Nando?
Yeah, I mean, it feels a little weird for me, if I'm being honest. I like the spot where Chris Venture's sitting. You know, if you watch the BFFs, that's a spot where I'm usually do-do-do and I'm singing around. But now I get a chance to drive the ship. We'll see where it goes.
That's how it goes down.
I think we got a fun show set up for you.
Agitate me as much as Nando does.
I'll try my best. Let's see if we could bring out the all-in beast here today. That is Jake Sealy. Later on in the show, as I mentioned, we'll try and get the beast out. It'll be Chris Ventura and Jake doing some debates here, based on some rankings that we have from Jake Sealy, some very early rankings, some post NFL draft rankings here, some bold claims made by Chris Venture, so we'll talk about that later on in the show. We got some news. I want to talk about some rookies for those just diving back into fantasy football. If you're doing some MFL 10 drafts, if you're getting into some NFFC draft champions, it's very early on, but people are already drafting, so you know they want some analysis on these rookie players. They want the latest news. We'll also get into last year's trash, as I mentioned in the opening. We need to find this year's DeAndre Hopkins, this year's Todd Gurley. There's going to be buying opportunities based on last year's, players that didn't perform up to what we were expecting out of them. So let's jump right in here. Probably the biggest news in the past couple of weeks, Hunter Henry, torn ACL at OTAs. He was everyone's breakout tight end this year. He was being drafted as a top five tight end in early MFL 10s here. We know that as long as Phillip Rivers has been the quarterback with the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers, he's favored as tight end. This tweet, according to Graham Barfield, as long as he's been the starting quarterback for the Chargers, he has produced a top 12 tight end in each one of those years. And that's cumulative fantasy points, whether it was Gates and Hunter Henry together. But with Gates seemingly out of the picture, we expected Hunter Henry to be the guy this year for the Chargers. So, Jake, I want to open up and just ask you, what does this do for the Los Angeles Chargers? What does this do for Phillip Rivers? Do we need to knock him down a little bit? Is there a chance that they bring Antonio Gates back? Does this move Mike Williams up your board because he'll get more red zone looks? What does the injury to Hunter Henry ultimately do for the Los Angeles Chargers in 2018?
You asked too many questions, and now I'm going to be talking for the next 10 minutes.
Give us your best.
The fact is, Phillip Rivers doesn't need to be moved up or down. He's been underrated every single year. The guy continually puts up QB1 seasons, and nobody ever wants to take him as such. I don't know if it's the stigma that comes along with him, his attitude, whatever it may be, but Phillip Rivers is a fantasy value year after year after year after year. Losing Hunter Henry is not going to change that. You talk about them bringing in Antonio Gates. They will do something. They will bring in someone out there, whether it's Gates for one more season or something else that's out there. They're not just going to sit back and not care about it. But even if they don't bring back Gates, you brought up Mike Williams. The fact is I, before this even happened, I was trying to tell everybody, don't forget about Mike Williams. Don't forget about how talented Mike Williams is. And he's dealing with injuries last year. And the fact is he's going to be on the field. He's a terrific red zone threat. He is the second most talented wide receiver on this team, and people have already forgotten about him because that's what happens in fantasy football. This does more for Tyrell Williams, in my opinion, because if Mike Williams was on the field as the number two, Hunter Henry was breaking out this year, Tyrell was going to be the one hurt, especially in the red zone. Now that Hunter Henry is not there, I think Tyrell gets his value back, as in a wide receiver three for this team, probably about a 4 or 5 in fantasy, where now he gets some of that touchdown value back. And it also trickles down a little bit to Melvin Gordon. You can boost his touchdown potential up, and maybe we get some Austin Eckler or Justin Jackson pass catching, you know, touchdowns here or there. But like I said, I think it does more for Tyrell Williams with a little bit of effect of a boost to Melvin Gordon.
We saw some inconsistency out of Hunter Henry to this point in his career, Ventura. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were getting very excited about him. No Antonio Gates. He was going to be the tight end here. Were you excited about Hunter Henry? Are you going to look to draft whoever they bring in as the next tight end for the Chargers? Or are you just going to try and stay away from this now and pivot to another guy at the tight end position?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely going to pivot because right now it's what, Virgil Green?
It's Virgil Green as of now, but they'll bring back Gage or they'll make a trade. They'll do something.
Something will happen, but honestly, they might not. I know Rivers loves his tight ends, and I was excited about Henry. I thought Henry, especially now with Gates gone, he'll get the touchdowns that were going to Gates. I thought this offense would obviously revolve around Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen. Mike Williams would be like the fourth guy. I thought Henry was going to be like the third option on this team. Now, I think this helps Mike Williams more than people might think. I think Mike Williams is going to be a real value pick this year, no matter which tight end they pick up. Rivers, I know Jake says Rivers is like a top quarterback every year, but he does have his inconsistencies. If you look, not last year, but the year before, he threw 21 interceptions. In 2014, threw 18 interceptions. He throws a lot of picks, so that could happen at any given moment. He has inconsistencies in his game. So I don't know. I think Rivers, like he said, I don't think it hurts him too much because, for one thing, with the Chargers, they have wide receiver depth. You know, Travis Benjamin's a speedster as a four wide receiver, and they got Tyrell Williams, and I think he's right. Obviously, that helps Tyrell Williams' value. But I think Mike Williams is going to be the real sleeper, big-time guy that you want out of this offense that you can get great value out of.
Real quick, Jake, I'm going to ask you a few dynasty questions throughout. I mean, it's very early again. It's Memorial Day, but does this create a buying opportunity in your opinion? If you're a year away from competing in your dynasty league, do you go out and try and get a buy low offer on Hunter Henry so that you could have him for the 2019 season, or am I just thinking too far in advance?
No, yeah, that's fine, but the problem is most of the Hunter Henry owners, usually in Dynasty, aren't going to give you that much of a discount. It has to be a significant discount because the problem is you're going to face is the injury optimism, which you see too much in fantasy baseball and football. So people just think these guys are going to come back and be 100% what they were before. This is a significant injury. We've seen this derail careers. We've seen people come back and not miss a beat. So if I'm going to trade for Hunter Henry, obviously I need to have coverage for this season at tight end. And if you're talking Dynasty, obviously you need at least two that you can really lie in case something happens to you this year. But if it's Hunter Henry, I'm not paying 95% or 90%. Like, I want him at 80% and 75% of his value because you have to consider the fact that he comes back next year and he's not the explosive player we knew.
Fair enough. Moving on here, I mentioned we're going to talk about some rookies. Look, we hear the term recency bias all the time when we're talking about fantasy football, and I think now more than ever, what we saw last year with Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara both finishing as top 5 running backs in fantasy football, regardless of format, standard, PPR, half PPR, it doesn't matter. Those guys were the real deal. They're both first-round picks this season. That's going to lead fantasy owners to want to pay up for the next crop of rookie running backs. That's Darius Geis, Rashad Penny, Royce Freeman. We'll get into some of these guys here, but I want to start right there with Darius Geis. Look, Saquon Barkley is going to be a first-round pick. That's fine. We'll have plenty of time to talk about Saquon Barkley and whether you should take him over Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara. I don't want to get into Saquon Barkley today. He was touched by God. We all heard it. But Darius Geis, Jake, I'm going to start with you here. As good as Geis might be, and, you know, he had some phenomenal production at LSU in college, Jay Gruden's offense hasn't produced a 1,000-yard rusher since 2014. That was Alfred Morris. That was a long time ago. In fact, no running back has had more than 751 rushing yards in each of the past 3 seasons. Darius Geis is being drafted right now at pick 38. That's RB20 off the board in NFL 10s. Again, very early on, but is there something about Geis that is making people want to buy into this? Because we haven't really seen anything out of the Redskins or Jay Gruden's offense that leads us to believe that we should buy into the running back position here. So why are people drafting Darius Geis so early early on here in draft season.
Because he's that dang talented. And the problem is to go back to the Philip Rivers and this, the 2 points that you made. I'm not saying you're doing this, but people too often look at the results and then formulate their argument after the fact. Like the Philip Rivers thing, like, oh, he's always had a top 12 tight end. Well, he's been playing with Antonio Gates for most of his career. Well, the Redskins haven't had a rusher go over 1,000 yards since Alfred Morris. Look at their options that they've had since Alfred Morris. The injuries, the offensive line issues, but they just go to the talent alone. So I think that's the problem. Sometimes it's the result to base the argument for what people want to do. And that's why they say, oh, that's why I don't want Darius Geis. The fact is, Darius Geis, in so many ways, is Leonard Fournette, the same lead powerful runner. He actually has injury concerns just as well. A better pass catcher than people realize, because LSU is still playing offense like it's 1995 and don't realize you pass to the running back these days. So you look at it, Darius Geis is Leonard Fournette. And then there's some dissimilarities there. I just made that a word, by the way. If you look at it, and I think that you're saying he's probably not scoring double-digit touchdowns like Leonard Fournette can. He's probably not going to get to 1,300 rushing yards like Leonard Fournette probably would have if he played 16 games. But if you talk about it, and where I have him around 1,100 yards, 6 or 7 rushing touchdowns, that's plenty doable and more than doable in this offense, which is now also led by Alex Smith, who will rely on the running back a little bit more than we've seen from Kirk Cousins in years past. And that's why. The only reason he doesn't rank higher is because Chris Thompson is not going away in the passing game.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And that brings me into my next question, which I'm going to ask you, Chris Ventura. Chris Thompson finishes a top 12 fantasy running back last year in points per game. Mind you, that's not a cumulative because he did get hurt and he missed time last year to end the season, like he has in most of his NFL seasons. The guy misses time. He's going to be injury prone. But Chris Thompson is still there. And according to ESPN reporter John Keim, they don't expect his role to change there in Washington. We've seen Alex Smith can check the ball down to his running backs. Chris Thompson is a very talented, not only receiver out of the backfield, he's a good rusher. We saw him have explosive plays last year and score lots of touchdowns. So I feel like for Darius Geis to live up to where he's being drafted as of now in the fourth round, that might be a lot to ask, just because Chris Thompson's going to be there and they don't expect his role to change.
He's going the fourth round?
Darius Geis is going in the early fourth round as of right now.
I see Fantasy Pros has him as the 23rd running back in standard. I mean, I play PPR, so for me, like, Thompson's going to be the PPR guy if he's there. And you remember last year at one point when the receivers weren't doing anything for Washington, and basically they were throwing to Chris Thompson all the time. He was carrying the load in the passing game pretty much. You know, he was the number one target at one point. And I don't think that's going to go away, because why would it? Because he was successful in that role when he was healthy. So, and Geis, even though Jake says he could be a good pass catcher, we don't know that for sure because he didn't really get a huge opportunity. Well, he only had 18 receptions his last year of college.
Yeah, but we don't base it off numbers. We base it on talent. He's a good pass catcher.
Well, yeah, he could be. I mean, but we don't know for sure how many pass catching, you know, opportunities and how well he's going to do with them.
That's, we don't know. What I'm saying is, we know he's a good pass catcher. I'm saying what we don't know is how many. So if you want to make that distinction, but that's it's the same thing.
But isn't Thompson a better pass catcher?
Yeah, you say that right now? I'm not disputing that at all.
Okay.
I'm not disputing that at all.
So that's what I'm saying. The problem is that Thompson's going to block that avenue for him to get
receptions. No, but here's the deal with it. You want a comparison? Let's play comparisons. Yeah. It's Darius Geis, Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard, miserable in the passing game. Darius Geis is actually a better pass catcher than Jordan Howard, and everybody would say the same thing because Jordan Howard's miserable. Tariq Cohen was dominating the passing game. Jordan Howard still finished RB10 in non-PPR and RB14 in PPR. Darius Geis can be just fine with Chris Thompson monopolizing the PPR game.
And that's true, but I'm afraid that the system is still the same, even though Alex Smith is here instead of Kirk Cousins. I feel like they might throw the ball still more than they run, because they do have a rookie running back, and they might not heavily rely on him that much. They have Jamison Crowder, Doxson. I know Paul Richardson is the one pickup that they got, but I don't think he's going to do too much. They still got Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed. I mean, you got weapons in the passing game. You got Chris Thompson, like I said. So, I mean, the thing is, it's going to be very hit or miss in a PPR league. You got to bank on touchdowns a little bit. And I don't know if he's going to get to 1,100 yards. I could see more like 900, 800, 900 with 5 or 6 touchdowns. Now, that's okay. But what is that? That's more like an RB3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's more. So that would be, I think, maybe a low-end RB2, high-end flex option.
Right.
It sounds to me.
No, that would be a mid to low RB2. I can give you numbers from last year where that's an RB2.
That could change, though.
A cumulative, yeah, it'll finish as an RB2, but on a week-to-week basis, you're not going to really like that guy as your RB2. I think we can agree on that, Jake.
No.
If that's what he finishes,
I would 100% disagree. I would happily take him as my RB2. I don't care what the format is.
Really?
If he finished with 800 or 900 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns, you'd like that as your RB2?
Look at Frank Gore. He's been RB2 year after year after year, top 20 running back year after year on accumulation. Nobody's excited about starting him, but there's guys, the numbers will be better than that.
To me, Frank Gore's more of a flex than an RB2, though. I just said that.
Geis is more than that.
Well, the thing is Geis going to get those type of carries and see that type of production?
Draft him where they drafted him to play fiddle with them back there in the backfield and give the lead touches to Chris Thompson. As Frank already said, Chris Thompson's role, the team has already come out and said they're not changing. You don't draft somebody like Geis and make him a backup.
I understand that, and I get what you're saying, but I would rather, for me personally, because I don't know exactly what he's going to do, I don't want him as my RB2. I'm not drafting him as my second running back. He'd be my third running back taken off the board. I'd rather have a lot of other guys that I know are going to be probably the bell cow and most likely going to get 15 touches on a regular basis every single week.
All right, let me just jump in right there. It sounds like Ventura is taking a little bit more of a pessimistic approach with the rookie running back here. He doesn't want to buy in as much to the recency bias. And I'm not saying that Jake is automatically doing that because he made good points about the talent of Darius Geis. And I agree. I think there is talent there. I think there are a lot of similarities between a guy like Leonard Fournette that you mentioned out of LSU. Ventura made the point that, okay, Darius Geis didn't catch passes out of the backfield, but neither did Leonard Fournette in college. That doesn't mean that you can't do it. That just means that they didn't really use that in that capacity at the college level. I think there's a chance Darius Geis could catch a few passes, but I do agree with you that his upside in terms of receptions is definitely capped because he has Chris Thompson there.
Right. Jaguars didn't have Thompson.
Jake, what's the ultimate ceiling of how many receptions Darius Geis can have this year? Because I don't really think it could be much more than 35?
It doesn't need to be. Again, that's probably where it'll check in around. I actually only project him for 24, but it doesn't need to be. If you go back to Alfred Morris and that argument, Alfred Morris is one of the worst pass-catching running backs ever, finished top 10, top 5 one year.
Alrighty, we'll talk more about some of these rookie running backs. Rashad Penny, Royce Freeman, we'll get into it. Some wide receivers, quarterbacks, we'll do that next. Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hey, you, over here. You want to win a DFS? And you want it for just $1? I got Daily Roto here. Now, why do you want it? Two of the guys behind it have won $1 million. It's not just about the writers. Not one, not two, but three subscribers have won $1 million, too. That's 5 millionaires. 5, count them. And it's not counting the $100,000 winners, too. They talk about it in the Slack channel. But why is it a dollar right now? Special price for the month of May. Yeah, if you don't like it, then walk away. If you love it and you're winning, keep going. Do I use it? How do you think I afford my massive tracksuit collection? Come on, look at the glitter on this. It's beautiful. You can sort your stats, add your own weights, read articles, distinguish between slates on FanDuel and DraftKings. You gotta go to DailyRoto.com and enter code $1. I may just be a creepy guy in a random alley inside your head, but I know what I'm talking about. That's DailyRoto.com, code $1. That's it, one. $1, 1 month, and start winning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable. Whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Frank Stanfill here hanging out with Chris Ventra and the all-in beast, Jake Seeley. Before we get into Rashad Penny, you had one more point on Chris Ventra. Chris Ventra, you had one more point on Darius Geis. What do you have here?
Yeah, so I was saying, guys like this where you know they're capped at, you know, pass catching in a PPR type league, you have to rely on the touchdowns and the yards, running the ball. And not only that, the Redskins, I don't think they're going to have a very good offensive line this year. It doesn't look like it's going to be one of those high-end offensive line where they're just going to be able to power through. So Geis might have to do a lot on his own. And I just don't trust that. So I'd rather go with a guy who I know is going to get the receptions, the carries, and is on a well-rounded team, a good offensive line. I'd rather go for that.
Well, I hope you're taking all of your running backs in the first two rounds then, Venture, because those running backs are very hard to find nowadays.
Go look at last year's top 24 PPR running backs and look at how many of them have 20 or 30 receptions, because it's the majority.
I think he's going to have less than 20.
No, he's not.
All right. That's the extreme approach. So you've got both ends of the spectrum here. Let's move on to Rashad Penny as of right now, currently being drafted at pick 43 in NFL 10s. He's RB21 off the board, right behind Darius Geis. So, Jake, I'm going to throw it to you again first. Personally, I feel like Rashad Penny is more of a guarantee for touches here. That doesn't automatically lead itself to production. As of right now, I think I would rather own Rashad Penny than Darius Geis. The Seahawks used a first-round pick on him. They've been searching for this workhorse running back since Marshawn Lynch. We know that they want to get back to having that kind of running back there. They've kind of went through this cast of misfits. Rashad Penny, 5'11", 220 pounds. Can he be the workhorse running back for the Seattle Seahawks, and would you rather have him than Darius Geis on Memorial Day?
Yes, and not even close. I have him four spots ahead of him in standard and five spots in PPR because Rashad Penny is elusive. He's amazing. He's a three-down running back. He can take any play to the house. He can run between the tackles, outside the tackles. He can do everything. People are going to go, oh, San Diego State, small school, all that type of stuff. We've seen plenty of this before. You know, David Johnson, Northern Iowa, it doesn't matter what school you come from when you're talented as Rashad Penny is. And people are, I know, going to come back and, well, it's the offensive line. Well, first of all, the offensive line is not the Cincinnati Bengals to start with. Second of all, they traded for Dwayne Brown last year. They brought in DJ Fluker in the offseason, who is abysmal in the passing game, but he actually rated out very highly by Pro Football Focus in the run game. He's actually a terrific run blocker for guards. You put that on the offensive line with health, the offensive line is not going to be the Dallas Cowboys. It's not going to be a top five unit, but middle of the road is all you're asking for. You have Russell Wilson helping you back there in the backfield to keep defenses honest to begin with. And yes, Rashad Penny is not only just in front of him, he's a high-end RB too. I don't care what format you're playing in.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you here, Jake. Ventura, you heard it. 2,248 rushing yards for Rashad Penny last year. 25 total touchdowns. I'm going to set the over-under at 280 touches here for Rashad Penny. Do you think he can get to that mark? Can he exceed that mark? And would you draft him over Darius Geis on Memorial Day?
I agree with Jake in the sense that I would draft him over Geis. I think he's going to get more touches, more carries, more everything. Obviously, they drafted this guy for a reason in the first round. And there's, like, the receivers on this team, besides Baldwin, aren't very good at all. Russell, I feel like the offensive line, I know you think it might improve, and it might. It's still a bad offensive line. So I think that Penny's not going to do as well as people might think, because people are going to key in on the running game and Russell Wilson, once again, because there's not much else here on this offense. So I think that he's going to have struggles. I think he's going to give you inconsistencies throughout the year, but I would act, you know, he's safer bet than Geis because of the touches. I think he will get a ton of touches. I think you'll see him on the ball. And I love the fact that he went to San Diego State and had 289 carries for over 2,000 yards, because that means he's a workhorse, and I like workhorse backs in fantasy football.
Yeah, I think those are good points as well. Jake, I just want to ask you one more time, why do you think Darius Geis is being drafted over Rashad Penny right now? I know you mentioned the small school thing. That's really the only thing that stands out for me is the fact that Darius Geis went to LSU and had obviously more national recognition. We thought he could be a first-round pick before the college season started, and then obviously he slipped for unknown reasons in the NFL draft. Why do you think that Darius Geis is being drafted over Rashad Penny in fantasy right now?
It's perception. It's the assumption that Geis actually has a better spot on his hands in terms of touches because people still think that CJ Procise or the rest of this backfield from Chris Carson to the rest are going to create more touches, competition for touches for Penny than Geis will, and that they're wrong in that facet, as well as the offensive line. And they're assuming the offensive line is still terrible, and it's not. It's middle of the road. Again, not top-end unit, but the Redskins unit is probably middle of the road as well, if you want to make that comparison, because they had so many offensive line injuries last year. But I think that's the thing. Is I think a lot of people think this is still like Cincinnati Bengals-type offensive line. Like, they're not going to do anything for Penny.
I understand what you're saying, but it's still – I want to see it first. I want to see how this offensive line
from Penny or the offensive line.
You've seen the players.
Yeah,
you've seen the players.
I've seen the players, but I'm saying last year was a complete disaster.
It was a disaster. But they get a full season out of.
Were there last year?
Yeah, they get a full season out of Dwayne Brown. Now they get DJ Fluker. I agree with Jake. Look, they according to Football Outsiders, they were ranked 31st in run blocking last year. That's the Seattle Seahawks offensive line. I think you get a full season out of Dwayne Brown. Again, that's what we're expecting as of right now. Obviously, offensive line injuries can happen at any point throughout an NFL season. But their projected depth chart, Dwayne Brown, DJ Fluker, as Jake mentioned, is a good run blocking offensive lineman. If we're just talking about Rashad Penny, I don't care what he does, you know, in terms of blocking for Russell Wilson, whatever. That doesn't matter. He's a good run blocker. So I do think that this offensive line will be better. They'll be closer to average than I think people realize.
Yes, they'll be better, definitely better than last year. First of all, another thing about offensive line, though, guys have to gel. New guys coming in, you know, everybody has to gel. It's about the unit as a whole, not one or two guys here or there. But besides the point, also last year, they didn't have good running backs, so that also hurt their run blocking. Because when you don't have good running backs, it makes you look worse. Now you have a better running back, a true runner. It's going to help the offensive line. It's going to help everybody, obviously. But so it's going to boost everything as a whole on this offense, but I still think there's going to be problems. I mean, you're not going to just go from worse to, above average or something like that overnight. I don't think that's going to happen, even though Tennessee Titans did that 2 years ago. But
Frank or I never said that.
Yeah, no, I know. That's not the expectation.
I think
all we need them to do is be, you know, in that 15 to 20 range, be an okay offensive line unit, and Rashad Penny is going
to
have,
I think, immense upside. The only thing you're going to have to worry about, though, is that there's going to be weeks where he has 12 carries for 23 yards. Those weeks are going to happen because there's going to be problems. This offense has no receivers. Basically, J.D. McKissick and C.J. Procise might have to be the receivers on this team because who are the receivers besides Doug Baldwin and Lockett?
They still have Doug Baldwin. They still have Tyler Lockett. And they have Russell Wilson. I mean, you have to take that into consideration. The fact that, you know, when he gets outside the pocket, defenses have to account for that. So, you know, he could dump it off to Rashad Penny. Like, that's just another facet of the game that defenses have to focus in on. So I think that lends itself and helps itself to Rashad Penny's value.
I think he's more likely to dump it off to a guy like Procise. And I know Jake might disagree,
Procise is going to play. What is he going to play? Two, three games?
Hurt. You're right.
Yeah.
But he was known as a pass catcher coming into this league.
All right.
That's what he was known
for. We'll put a bow on this. I think we're all pretty excited about Rashad Penny so far heading into 2018. I just want to ask real quick, the running backs being drafted right after Darius Geis and Rashad Penny, that's Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, Royce the 5'9 Freeman. I say that because Royce the 5'9. The rapper. I'm happy you knew about that. Jake, do you know about Royce the 5'9?
I finished it for you. You didn't obviously hear me saying it.
Oh, there you go. All right. I see you, Jake. I'm excited.
I didn't hear what he said.
I didn't hear it either.
Yeah.
I said I finished your statement when you said, I don't know why you can't hear me anymore, when you said Royce the 5'9, and I knew exactly where you're going. I said 5'9 as you were saying it.
Yeah, he's not actually 5'9". He's 5'11", but that's besides the point.
I know, but that's the rapper.
Yes, it is. They're all being drafted within 8 picks of each other right now. That's picks 52 through 60 in MFL 10. Jake, I just want to ask you, which running back do you like most out of this group between Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, Royce the 5'9", if they're all being drafted in the same round, all things equal?
It's Royce Freeman, Ronald Jones, Sonny Michel in order, and they're all very close to each other. It just really comes down to it's the Patriots, so the Sonny Michel's last. Like, we know he's going to fill the Deion Lewis role, but we know that any given week it could be a James White week. And let's talk about the fact of fumbling issues for Sonny Michel, which, by the way, why would you put that guy with Bill Belichick? And also, credit to Scott Barrett for this one. The last time the Patriots took a first-round running back, Lawrence Maroney, started zero games that entire year. So there's no trusting what the Patriots are going to do at running backs. I don't know why people still think we can try and predict what Belichick's going to do. Freeman and Jones are very, very, very close for me. The difference for me is Freeman's touchdown upside outweighs Royce or Ronald Jones a little bit, because the thing is Jameis Winston takes some of those away. Actually, he was their most effective inside the 5-yard runner last year, and he does pass quite a bit inside the red zone. So Royce Freeman gets a slight edge.
Chris Ventura, which situation do you think is most appealing here? Sonny Michel on the Patriots, Ronald Jones with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and Royce Freeman with the Denver Broncos. Which situation excites you the most here?
It's a tough one for me. I mean, I feel like Freeman, another one, like a bruiser type guy. I really like Sonny Michel a lot. I think he's going to outdo what his value is right now. I think he's a dynamic running back. I know New England plays around with their running backs. They have all these different running backs, but once again, I think they drafted him for a reason in the first round. I mean, Burkhead, Gilsley, these are all up-the-middle pounder-type guys. Michel is probably going to get a lot of, you know, pass-catching opportunities. They don't have, you know, they don't really have, I guess they have Hogan, they have Edelman, they have Gronkowski, so they do have receivers, but I feel like Michelle's going to do more than we expect, even though you might not think he gets the touches. It's a scary proposition, but I think he could be better than these guys. Ronald Jones I like as well. I think he could be an all-purpose back for Tampa Bay, but honestly, I'd probably go Ronald Jones, Sonny Michel, then Freeman.
Alrighty, we didn't have the Calvin Johnson, the Julio Jones type, really hyped-up wide receiver in this year's draft. We didn't have a guy go in the first 10 picks. We saw Calvin Ridley be drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. We saw DJ Moore. These were some guys who went in the first round. But, Jake, I want to ask you, who is the first rookie that should be drafted in redraft leagues? Not talking about dynasty keeper projecting for, you know, 2-3 years down the line. Who do you think can have the biggest fantasy impact this year? Is it a Ridley, DJ Moore, Michael Gallup maybe with the Cowboys, or somebody I haven't mentioned yet?
That's nobody, because they're all going to be overdrafted, because nobody's going to return top 40 wide receiver value as a rookie this year. That's just the problem is that the talent wasn't there in this draft class to begin with, and let alone the fact is some of the better talents landed on worse situations than the lesser talents. Like Gallup is a lesser talent. Gallup's in a better situation than some of the others, depending on what happens with Terrence Williams. The Cowboys are dead set on making Terrence Williams a thing. So Gallup is raw. He's going to need to surpass two people in Hearns and Terrence Williams to get on the field consistently. So he's got that in front of him. Same thing. You like look at all of them. And Miller is intriguing because he could easily be their number two as of today. I think he's their second best as of today. But they're talking about using him as the slot and putting Taylor Gabriel on the outside. I think that changes at some point and Miller will take over. But, you know, Ridley, the fact is he's going to be, where's the touches coming? Or where's the actually just the receptions coming from? He's the number two wide receiver. He's going to push Sanu to the slot, but are you going to rely on that fantasy? He's a wide receiver five. Same thing for the rest of them. DJ Moore. I love the fit, but at the same time, Cam Newton doesn't make three wide receivers or even two wide receivers consistent week in and week out. So he's a wide receiver five. All the rookies are wide receiver five or lower. So unless you're getting them at that cost, don't draft them because they're going to be overdrafted. I've seen Calvin Ridley being drafted as a number three. Same thing for Gallup. Same thing as Moore. And they don't deserve to go that high.
I disagree with just one guy, Calvin Ridley. I think Ridley definitely gets touches this year. I don't think Sanu, like Sanu's a possession receiver, and that's what he is. He is what he is. We know what he is. Ridley's better, and I think he's going
to
see more.
Did I not just say that?
Like, look at Julio. You did, but you said you still think he's a wide receiver five. I think he could definitely be way beyond that. I think he could be a wide receiver three.
How?
Because I think he could get a lot more touches than all these other rookies. I think he has the opportunity right away to jump in and be the number two target on this team.
Targets?
I think he's going to get more targets than Austin Hooper. I think he's going to get more targets or around the same as Sanu.
Is he getting more than 100 targets?
Around, I'd say. That's a good number.
Okay, Sanu had 98 last year. Sanu's still getting some. Hooper's still getting some. Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman are still getting some.
Oh, yeah,
there's no
absolutely.
Way he's probably barely going to get to 90 targets. You get 90 targets, you're not finishing as a wide receiver three. Lock it in.
Well, no, but you have to take away some of the targets from Hooper, some of the targets from Sanu, and they're going to spread out to Ridley. Those targets.
I just said 90. Even
50
if
or 20 of those targets from Hooper and
unless
Sanu
he's
are going to
getting 110 targets, he's not finishing as a wide receiver three.
But that's what I'm saying. I think he could get 100 to 110 targets. Look at Julio Jones. When he first got drafted by the Falcons, he was used right away pretty much.
And I mean, guess who's still there?
I know he was a top five pick.
Venture, to your point. There. To Venture's point, look, Amari Cooper finished as wide receiver 36 last year. He had 680 yards and 7 touchdowns.
96 targets.
I'm not so sure that Calvin Ridley can't get to that.
Right.
I wouldn't project it that way. I don't think you should draft him as your wide receiver three.
No.
But Jake, I don't think it's out of the question that Calvin Ridley, I mean, even Randall Cobb was wide receiver 35. He finished 653 yards, 4 receiving touchdowns. I think that there's a chance that Calvin Ridley could get to those numbers.
And let's go back to the previous argument of other situations we're talking about running backs. When did you ever want to start Randall Cobb?
That's a good point. It's a good point.
No, you didn't want to start Randall Cobb, but Randall Cobb.
So you'll never want to start Calvin Ridley.
No, but Randall Cobb was the clear-cut third wide receiver on a team that had two great wide receiver number ones and twos. This
and
team doesn't have.
And you can't say Calvin Ridley is the clear-cut number two, despite the fact he probably will be the number two.
Right.
At the year end, you go ahead, please. I hope people in league start Calvin Ridley week in and week out.
Jake, no, I'm not saying reach for Ridley, draft him higher than where he's going. I'm saying where he's going, which I know you're saying he's going too high, but. At some point, they're gonna realize, okay, he's gonna fall down a little bit, fall down a couple of rounds, and I think there's a good slot where you could take him, where you're gonna get good value, better value.
That's a wide receiver
than
five.
Drafting him.
That's what
I
I'm saying.
I don't think it's wide receiver five. I think it would be a wide receiver four for me.
Right
I would
now,
draft him easily
right
as my
now,
wide receiver four.
He's being drafted at pick 133,
which is what
in a 12-team league, that's the round 11, 12.
That's a great.
You could get
place
him. You could get him as your wide receiver
that's
four.
A great place to get
wide receiver five. I think you could get him there, Jake. No.
No, you can't. That's a fine place. That's where you have the numbers right now.
Yes.
I just did. I'm so tired of doing them. Thank God the week is over. I've done five. I've done five magazine mocks this week. Calvin Ridley went in the 7th, 8th round of all
that's
of them.
That's too high.
That's too high.
I say 10th round, 11th round is nice.
Yeah,
that's
I think
pick.
if you get him in 9th, 10th round, again, it's very early. I think as we get closer, we'll hear, you know, we'll see all the preseason and, you know, these guys making phenomenal plays, and then it could push anybody up the board.
Yeah.
We might as well call it the Amir Abdullah effect.
I have my sheet and I gray out players as they're taken. Every single time I just grayed out Calvin Ridley, like ahead of time. I just knew he was going to go way too early.
So you just give him like an F before, you know, anything even happens?
No, I just gray him out because I know he's not going to be there in the 10th round. He's already gone 2 rounds earlier.
Yeah, so people are going to reach. Maybe not. Maybe not by August. Maybe by August people will realize and things leave.
Oh,
out.
No.
He's just going to continue to get hyped up.
Yeah,
I agree with Jake here.
One catch in week 2 of the preseason, like an Amir Abdullah at the wide receiver position, and it's going to go bananas, Chris. Watch.
Abdullah's my guy.
I'm sorry that he's your guy, but there's a new guy in town. It's Kerryon Johnson. They got LeGarrette Blount there as well for the Detroit Lions. When we come back, we will talk about last year's trash, some players that disappointed us who we think might be able to bounce back this season. We're trying to find the Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins of the 2018 season. Also pin these guys up against each other. We'll do that next, Fantasy Sports Today.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
Want a chance to win 2 tickets to a 2018 World Series game? Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. There you'll find a link to a free DFS baseball contest every day. The contests are sponsored by DKMS, and they're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. Find out how you can help and play in free DFS contests with a shot at winning 2 tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I'd still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors. So you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today and unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
Steiner Sports is the leading memorabilia provider for the New York Yankees, Rangers, Giants, Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Featuring hundreds of items from your favorite athletes, Steiner Sports is your source for the best sports gifts. Go to steinersports.com/box and shop our collection of memorabilia boxes, which include 10 gifts for the price of one. We've made one for each of your favorite teams. Hurry, supplies are limited, and these are some of the best deals we have ever offered. So go to steinersports.com/box today.
All right, let's get back into it. I mentioned, you know, we wanted to talk about last year's trash, some guys who underperformed last year who we think can bounce back this season. Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins, respectively. Gurley, back in 2016, finished as RB20. D-Hop finished as wide receiver 36 in 2016. Obviously, both guys moving back into the first round this year. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley, what most people seem to think is the consensus number one overall pick this year, DeAndre Hopkins going in the mid-first round. I think rightfully so for both players. We need to find this year's version of Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins. So I just want to start with, you know, a guy I know you're probably going to be very excited about. You were very excited about him last year, Jake, and that is Joe Mixon. Last year finished as RB32. He's being drafted very highly, though, still. His ADP as of right now, 23.94, right there on that round two, round three turn. They made improvements to the offensive line, the Cincinnati Bengals. I think last year they messed around with him too much early on between Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard, getting those guys involved. Can Joe Mixon live up to where he's being drafted right now? And could we possibly be talking about him as a borderline first round pick heading into 2019? Can he do that this year heading into 2018?
Yes and no. As much as I love Joe Mixon, to be honest with you, I'm looking at both my running back ones and my wide receiver ones, and there's nobody that we don't know and nobody that's not there but that doesn't involve an injury like Odell Beckham or Dalvin Cook or something like that where somebody's going to emerge similar to Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't see it happening this year, more so because of the scenarios facing a lot of these players that were last year's trash. And the fact is Joe Mixon still has, now, unlike Seattle, a terrible offensive line. They tried to get some help. They did so, you know, at different avenues and brought in pieces. And in the draft, they have some additions. But you still look at it as a whole, it looks to be, unlike Seahawks, still probably one of the worst 5 to 10, at least 10, possibly still one of the worst 5 in the league. Joe Mixon can only do so much. And part of his problem was, he also did similar what we've seen some players try. He tried to do too much. It just take what's there for you sometimes. You can't do everything, especially with the offensive line like that in front of you. Andy Dalton's on the downside of his career at this point. Tyler Eifert, if you know, is he ever going to stay on the field? And the reason I'm bringing these people up is because it's AJ Green, and does John Ross come back after his missed entire season last year, basically? And where's the threat to keep defenders honest for Joe Mixon? So that's really what it comes down to. And the fact that also, Joe Mixon has some similarities to Darius Geis in the fact that he has somebody alongside of him who's not going away in the passing game in Giovanni Bernard. So I like Joe Mixon. I have him at 16, both in standard and PPR, funnily enough. But I think that he's a nice RB2. I don't see him being an RB1 or a first-round draft pick next year.
Based on his ADP, do you think he's being overdrafted right now, Jake? If we're going to see him on that 2-3 turn in 12-team leagues, do you think that's overdrafted for Joe Mixon?
Nah, it's barely. I mean, the fact is, so you could say overdrafted by overall value, but if you're on the 2-3 turn and you went Antonio Brown first and you want to get Joe Mixon to be your running back, he's not making it back to you anyway. So if you take him there, maybe he's overdrafted by a half of a round. But at the same time, this is why I say where you could have overdrafted players, it's not going to kill you if you're doing it by a half a round because you're not drafting again for 12 to 24 picks, depending on where you are.
Another guy who is being drafted later on this year, and we saw him in the first round last year, actually, was Jay Ajayi. He finished as RB33, started out with the Dolphins, that kind of fell out of favor, and then he ended up with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles. He's now being drafted at pick 47.9, so right there, really on the 4-5 turn. Venture, I throw this one to you. Jay Ajayi, can he turn this around? Can we see him bounce back into the early rounds, the first, second round heading into 2019? Can he outperform where he's being drafted? Personally, I feel like as long as Doug Peterson has been there with the Eagles, he's run a committee approach, and I don't really see how that's going to change. So in my
opinion. What overall RB was that, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Jay Ajayi, based on this ADP?
The RB, the RB ADP, just out of curiosity. Go ahead, Chris.
It's 2, 4, 6, 8. Well,
go ahead, Chris. While he's looking.
Well, no, I'm looking at it right now. Jay Ajayi is, where is he?
Oh, everybody's looking.
No, there he is. Okay, he's 22 on fantasypros.com and PPR. Facts.
Well, how do you feel about that?
Like, I think that's, I don't know. The thing is, you're right. Like, going to the Eagles, you're right. He could mess around with his production. I don't know if he's going to get a full amount of touches. Like you said, they might mess around with the running back, especially if Ajayi doesn't do well early on in the season. You know what I mean? He's not carrying the load. But at the same time, I could see Ajayi just going off, you know, the first two out of the 3 or 4 weeks. And then, you know, now he's being used for 20, 25 touches a game. And then he becomes this year, like you said, the same thing. Last year's trash becomes this year's gold. I mean, but the thing is the value really good enough at running back 22? I'm not too sure. I'm going to try to stay away from Ajayi. I like other running backs better than me. Like, I think guys like Ty Montgomery and Lamar Miller are better trash to invest into this year. They cost less, and I think they could do, you know, just as well, if not more. Guys like that in the wide receivers.
Ty Montgomery might not even be a running back this year.
Yeah, he might even be a wide receiver, which you could plug into running back, though. You know what I mean? Remember when he's wide receiver / running back, the only player that did that? That's a great flex guy to have. You know what I mean?
No, so, it's not. You don't want the third wide receiver on a team as your flex running back.
Well, the thing is, how good? That's the thing. Jordy's gone now. You have Davante Adams, who you know is the wide receiver one, solid. And then you have Cobb. Cobb is a slot guy. Cobb could be the third wide receiver. We don't know if he's going to be
a valuable wide receiver. And then they have Jamon Moore.
Do you think he's going to be, in fantasy-wise, a wide receiver 4, 5, or a wide receiver 2 or 3? Like, you really don't know how they're going to use him, how valuable he's going to be yet. I'm going to lean more towards 3 for Randall Cobb.
That's not the point. The point is Ty Montgomery's not going to get consistent touches.
Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying because you got Jamal Williams there, but I think they're going to split carries. I think Montgomery's obviously...
No, you got Aaron Jones, too. I'm just letting you know, Ty Montgomery is a long loss, to forget about him.
Yeah, I wouldn't forget about him yet.
That Packers running back situation is all over the place.
It is all over the place.
Jake, look, Jay Ajayi, I want nothing to do with him this year. If he's going on the 4-5 turn, I just really don't. I think the Eagles, they're going to use a committee approach. I wouldn't draft Jay Ajayi on Scott Engel's team. I wouldn't draft him on my worst enemy's team. Jake, how do you feel about Jay Ajayi?
Yeah, because everybody's also forgetting Darren Sproles is coming back.
Yep.
Hey, you know, that guy? Yeah, they're going to find a way to use him. Corey Clement, we saw what he could do, obviously, in the Super Bowl. The fact is, Jay Ajayi I have as one of my last RB2s. Actually, he's 23rd, but I'm not taking him there. It's just where I have him because of the projections. I do have him having around 1,000 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns, not a whole lot in the passing game. That's just where he lands on projections. The problem is, similar to the Patriots situation, is when are you going to really feel great about Ajayi in your lineup every single week? Because 1 week might not be an Ajayi game. Might be, you know, Darren Sproles and Clement. And, you know, there's other options on this team that we've seen way too much of where you can't find any type of consistency. So I think he's going to be the lead option. Most weeks, he should probably settle in around 15 to 18 touches. But trying to predict that consistency is going to be frustrating. So while he might be worthy of that spot, I feel like what the other thing I always say is don't buy all the risk. I feel at that spot, you're buying all the risk associated with Ajayi. I'd rather him be my RB3.
Right. He's too high right now to like to draft. He's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I agree.
If you guaranteed me 15 to 18 touches, 15 to 20 touches, then maybe it'd be a different story. But you can't guarantee that. And, you know, I just don't trust him. The guy only showed glimpses. He hasn't shown a full season's worth of actual production, and I'm not going to buy into that at that price.
Ventura, you brought up a wide receiver. Actually, you mentioned Ty Montgomery, but similar initials, actually. T.Y. Hilton finishes wide receiver 24 last year. We know that all of his value is really kind of tied into Andrew Luck and the health of Andrew Luck, but we don't know if Andrew Luck is a football player as of right now. Shout out to E.Y. Eric Young, who all year last year on the Fantasy BFF said, look, Andrew Luck is not throwing an actual football, so he's not a football player. So we know that his value is tied into, you know, whether Andrew Luck is healthy or not. So I want to bring up two guys and kind of pin them up against each other. Who's more likely to break out this year, and he's the guy that we're talking about next year as, you know, that third-round wide receiver that really broke out. T.Y. Hilton versus Amari Cooper. Who are you more likely to draft based on their current ADP? 33 for T.Y. Hilton and 37 for Amari Cooper. That's where they're going respectively.
Right. Yeah, I see on Fantasy Pros, he's number 13 wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton right now. Cooper's 18. I'm buying Cooper.
Okay,
I'm buying the Oakland Raiders. I'm buying John Gruden. I'm buying that whole system. I'm buying Amari Cooper. I'm even buying on a flyer Martavius Bryant at the end of the draft. Because I think that's another guy that could give you production, and he's worth nothing at this point. You know what I mean? It's not like you had to pay for last year. You had to pay for him in the fourth or fifth round. Now you don't have to pay for him at all. So Cooper, yes, I'm buying back. He's still young. He's still really young, and people don't realize that even though he's been around for a while already. I think this offense is going to get better. Derek Carr's a good quarterback. He just had a bad year. He had injuries. That team was just a mess overall. Now that Gruden's there, he's a QB whisperer. This team's going to be a lot better offensively. The only thing I might not buy into it is the running game. But as far as receivers and Carr is concerned, I'm buying all that.
So, Jake, I want to throw the same question to you. T.Y. Hilton and Amari Cooper, two wide receivers that we see going, you know, early to mid-third rounds so far right now. Who do you like better as last year's trash in terms of who's gonna live up to that value or maybe even exceed that value? Who's more likely to do that this year?
It's not even a conversation. It's T.Y. Hilton, but it's all dependent on Andrew Luck. I mean, if you're drafting him right now, you understand that you might get a wide receiver 3 because Andrew Luck doesn't play. If Andrew Luck plays, guess what? You've got a top 10 guaranteed, possibly even top 5 like he was 2 years ago, receiver. There's no question about it. If Andrew Luck's there, T.Y. Hilton's amazing. If Andrew Luck isn't, T.Y. Hilton's a wide receiver 3. So it's really what it comes down to. And I've actually ended up with T.Y. Hilton in quite a few of those magazine mocks and a few mock drafts so far because it's the potential, and he's not going where I heard the ADP you just gave. I haven't seen him gone that high yet so far. I think a lot of people are scared of this Andrew Luck situation. So I'll get the value on that with the Amari Cooper. Not wrong about the age. Not wrong that maybe Gruden can finally get something out of him. But as I've said for years on past and continue to say it, and maybe this is the year it finally changes, that he's a poor man's Brandon Cooks because he shows up 3 games out of the year, gets everybody excited with 150 yards, and disappears the rest of the season. Like, enough with Amari Cooper. Enough with the craziness.
His rookie year was a very good year.
And wait for a rookie, yeah. Look at the inconsistency.
I know he's inconsistent, but that's going to change with a new regime.
No, why is it going to change?
Because it's John Gruden.
Why, just because you want it to?
No, because
just
it's because John Gruden.
It's QB Cam. It's John Gruden.
It's John Gruden. This is one of the best coaches that we've ever seen.
He could. No, he's not.
Yes, he
could
is.
Get something out of him. He could get something out of him. You can hope he can. It's not definitively going to happen. There's nothing along Amari Cooper's career path to make it say it's going to happen.
Well, now
not
that Crabtree's
the fact
gone.
That the no. It has nothing to do with it. It's his own talent. He can't hold on to the damn ball when it's thrown to him. Well, and the fact is, Derek Carr, I would love to have in real life, but when it comes to fantasy and throw away last season, you can do that all you want. The years before that, he's not a great fantasy quarterback. He doesn't throw for 4,300 yards. He doesn't throw for 30-plus touchdowns. So
we don't know that
there's
yet.
Nothing here.
We don't know that yet.
I know of what he's done so far. You could pull numbers out of your ass.
He's still too young
all day
to
you
decide
want.
On something like that. Guys could come up and be great at when things gel, when a team changes regimes like this, when you got a great offensive mind like John Gruden on your team, Carr's going to do better. That's almost a guarantee, and so should
no, no,
the
no.
offense.
It could. You cannot say it's a guarantee, just like the arguments we were making before about the running backs and that it could. You can't say anything's
and
a guarantee.
And you can't guarantee that Andrew Luck is going to be good when he's healthy. That's not a guarantee either. He could be garbage.
If Andrew Luck is healthy for 16 games, Andrew Luck is, we've already seen enough years from him.
I would put any amount of money that Andrew Luck will not play even close to 16 games. The guy, I wouldn't trust him.
That
I
wasn't
throw.
The conversation!
I know, but I'm just saying, he's, even if he is healthy and they say he's healthy, I don't think he's truly healthy. I don't think he ever will truly be healthy. I want to see him play a season first.
Hey,
I wouldn't even buy into that.
Why don't you change to another argument that has nothing to do with what we're talking about now, too?
No, it does, because it has to do with T.Y. Hilton. That's why.
You're just moving on from argument to argument because you can't support anything you're saying.
What do you mean? I just said John Gruden came to the Raiders. They have Amari Cooper. They have talent all around. They have...
And that guarantees they're going to be good.
Who's going to go over the top of teams.
Listen to what I'm saying. Chris,
the middle
try
wide
this for
open.
A second. You cannot guarantee Gruden is just going to magically make Derek Carr and Amari Cooper something they've never
been. But both those guys have been good. They haven't been great yet. So it's very possible
exactly.
that he makes them get to that next level. They're still good players, though, even without Gruden.
What was that word you said?
They're still
word?
Good players, both of them.
No. Possibly.
But they don't even need to be great, great. They could just be good, just good. And they're still good players to buy into, I think. Carr is going very low. People are off Carr right now. And Cooper has dropped from his value of last year, which was ridiculously high, I know. But I know it's still high value, but I will buy back in because Crabtree's gone. He's the number one receiver without a doubt. He should get all the touchdown receptions on that team now. I mean, I got to buy into this. If there's one guy that you like that's young, that's been pretty much healthy for the most part of his career, that could still become a great player, it's this guy. That's all I'm saying.
If I'm settling it right now, if I'm drafting on Memorial Day, I'd probably take the shot on T.Y. Hilton, but that's just... Buying the, if Andrew Luck is healthy,
the safety.
T.Y. Hilton, we've seen him perform like a first round wide receiver. We haven't seen that yet for Amari Cooper, so we're kind of projecting for something we've never seen before. T.Y. Hilton, we know that if Andrew Luck is healthy, he can perform like a first round wide receiver.
I know what you're saying,
yep.
And I know this isn't always the case, but like I buy an offense as a whole because I like to do that better. In football, I feel like the offense as a whole is more important than just one guy or one player. Unless it's a quarterback like Andrew Luck is saying. But Indianapolis has problems with their offensive line, problems all over the place, problems with their running game. They have problems everywhere. Even if Andrew Luck comes back, and even if he is 80% of what he was, it's still not good enough for me. I don't trust it. I feel like there could be major inconsistencies in that offense. I'd rather take these guys who I know with the new, with Gruden, that offense could be very, very good. It could be a great offense, possibly. And I like that prospect better. I know I take chances, but I think this is almost even a safer bet than going with the Indianapolis Colts offense.
This is exactly what I had in mind when I had the analyst going up against the beast, Jake Seeley. We got Chris Ventura's veins popping out at his neck. He's turning all red in the face. Jake, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us. You know, I still have a bunch more, you know, debate topics between
Great.
Ventura and the All-In Kid. We'll have to make that happen
Jimmy
soon,
G.
Jake.
High five QB.
Alrighty, so for the All-In Kid, for Chris Ventura, the analyst, I'm Frank Stanfield. This was Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Network, getting you ready for the fantasy football season. See you next time.
We out.